Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness and persecution, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. And my very special guest is Dr. Catherine Albrecht. Her website's, kmashow.com, startpage.com, which I think was one you didn't mention, which I recall is a way to basically Google things without Google and the NSA keeping all your frickin' information. It's a very important web search page to use. Antichips.com and chipmenot.com. And I believe she's also got a contract for a new advertising campaign with Pringles. Once you pop, you can't stop. Those kind of chips. I joke.
Oh, you're too funny. No, I haven't done the Pringles thing yet. Actually, Pringles, I believe, is owned by Procter & Gamble, which is one of the companies that we've been boycotting for many, many years because of their involvement with RFID, radio frequency identification microchips. So not a big fan of any Procter & Gamble products around here. But the other website I do want to make people aware of is startmail.com. And, you know, after doing this for 14 years, the big problem that I faced, Vinny, is that people would always say, well, that's all fine and well that there's all these privacy invasions, but now that you've got me super depressed, what in the heck am I supposed to do about it? And for many, many years, I didn't have a solution other than boycott the companies. But, you know, eventually you got to boycott everybody. So what we finally did is I joined up with a little company out of the Netherlands, a Dutch company called IXQuick, or IXQuick, and they had a tiny little search engine that was serving totally private search results. Now, this was after I discovered that Google and, you know, I can also say Yahoo and Bing do not exist in order to be search engines and provide you with free answers to all your questions. What they really are is market research companies that have hit on a brilliant way to get the public to reveal personal information about themselves and never be the wiser. So, and I should back up and explain that. The reason that Google has that nice little blinking cursor in a little empty window is not because they want to, you know, answer all your questions. They're not your mom. They don't owe you anything. And in case you hadn't noticed, you don't have to pay them anything for this extraordinary amount of information at your fingertips. Why is that? Well, the answer to that, actually, if I go back to the 1980s when I got my undergraduate degree in international marketing, one of the things that my marketing professors told me back then, this is before the internet, was market research is the hardest challenge we ever face. It's very hard to get people to give you honest answers about the personal details of their lives. So if you want to know if they have, marital problems or financial problems, they're never going to tell you that. So what Google has hit on, and Yahoo and Bing, Microsoft, is a way to provide you with a service so that you will believe that you are being immensely helped by them. In the meantime, the real purpose of having that window there for all those searches to go into is to provide a way to look inside of every person on the globe's head 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 times a day and know everything about you. So yeah, they did it for marketing purposes.
This is metadata as well, isn't it? And even there's a provision in this new GCSB bill in New Zealand. They're basically our version of the NSA. In fact, incidentally, you'll love this, Catherine. The NSA has offices in the New Zealand GCSB building.
Oh, really?
No Shiite Muslim.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, that's just disturbing. Not surprising, but truly just cringeworthy. Well,
and of course, the mainstream media leaves that part out because that was exposed during the public meetings and during the protest. And that's one of the details that they chose not to cover.
I bet they chose not to cover that. No kidding. All right. Well, yeah, the NSA, and here's where this really comes, I think, full circle, is you've got these private corporations that, at least in the U.S., they're not covered by the Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. There is no law in the U.S. or in the Constitution that says Google can't provide a little window that's really just a honey trap for all of your personal information. If you choose to provide it, that's your fault. And you pay the price. There is no protection legally against that because it's a voluntary transaction that you're doing with them. Where this becomes really interesting is that because we have no Fourth Amendment protections against these companies capturing all of our data, we provide them with huge amounts of data, and then it is just a matter of time before the government agencies that aren't allowed to capture this data on their own say, woo, Google has the largest database of personal information about people ever collected in the history of humanity. We want a piece of that. And so they build the back door in. And this is why these nine PRISM companies that were exposed by Edward Snowden, you know, it's not a surprise that they chose those nine companies. I mean, look at who they are. They're Google, they're Facebook, they're Microsoft and Bing and Outlook. They are AOL, you know, from back in our parents' era. They are Apple. You know, everybody's walking around with their iPhone. Of course they want access to that information. It's a goldmine for them. And what it does is it means that they don't have to build a surveillance infrastructure themselves. They can simply piggyback onto one that's already been built by these private corporations. So to get back to my story, I, back in 2009, joined forces with this little tiny search engine called Ixquick. And we created, I said, well, it's lovely that you have Ixquick, and it's great that it's private, and we can search, but people want Google results. They like the Google search engine. If there's one thing Google does well with all of its money, you know, it's hired some of the brightest minds out there, and they have a darn good search engine. They're good at what they do. So people want Google results. So what we did was we built the startpage.com search engine, and Startpage searches Google for you, while providing a buffer between you and Google. So if you want to look up something, anything.
Let me see if I get this straight. So the NSA piggybacks off of Google to steal everybody's information, and what you do is you piggyback over Google to keep everybody's information secure.
That's pretty much right. That's a great way of putting it. So when you go to Start Page, let's say you want to search for something, you know, personal or private, bankruptcy, you know, foreclosure, sexual problems, whatever. We don't care. You go to Start Page and you punch in your search. We submit it to Google for you privately. Google never sees you. They only see us. And we get the Google answers. We then strip out all the tracking cookies and we serve them to you privately. And then as soon as you've seen the results, we delete all records of your visit. So we don't store your IP address. We don't make any record of what you searched for. We have no idea who's been on our website at the end of the day. And we are now serving 4.5 million searches every single day at startpage.com and ixquick.com. And the difference, by the way, between the two, Startpage is only Google results. So when you search on Startpage, you'll know what Google has to say about your topic. And Ixquick, I-X-Q-U-I-C-K, Ixquick gives you results from other search engines, but not Google. They're both equally private. They're both third-party certified. And I think the most important thing, neither one of them is based under U.S. jurisdiction. So because we are a Dutch company based outside of U.S. jurisdiction, Patriot Act requests, PRISM request, FBI request, FISA court orders, none of that is directly applicable at all to Startpage or Ixquick. So you don't have that extra layer of fear that the U.S. government could be putting the screws to our company, because even if they did, we would say fly a kite. You don't have any control over us. We're Dutch. And, you know, normally I'm a pretty true blue American gal. I've got a pretty international outlook, but, you know, I do try to buy American, and I encourage New Zealanders to buy New Zealand and, you know, Frenchmen to buy French. I think it's important that we stay local.
Here's an interesting part of the story then. The Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, which New Zealand's signing up to, we have these campaigns in New Zealand called Buy New Zealand Made. So the government will fund these TV shows and, you know, Buy New Zealand Made, encouraging people to buy New Zealand products. Under the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, that kind of activity will be illegal because it interferes with the international conglomerates that are going to be doing business with New Zealand, and they will actually be able to sue the country in the world court, which they always win at because they're corporations and they own the world court.
Heaven help us. See, that's the kind of thing that goes so against the purpose that for which we have government. And I know you get this better than anybody, Vinny, but, you know, as you were saying in your intro, we have government because they're supposed to be our servant. They serve us. They're like the maid and the gardener. They are not supposed to be coming up with these rules that say if we, you know, try to restrict our purchasing to our own country, that somehow we're violating laws. That's craziness.
Well, you know, the world is insane, I completely believe. And anything that comes out of officialdom, anything that they say, you can basically be assured that it's the direct opposite. Government says we're here to protect your freedoms. Okay, they're here to destroy them. Health system says we're here to keep people healthy. They're there to make sure that people stay sick. The media is there to inform people. They're there to misinform people, you know, so on and so forth. Every single government agency or a massive corporation essentially has that exact same. If anything, it seems like satanic inversion to me.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting way of putting it, and I think it all starts with the initial inversion, which is that we are the sovereigns and they are the servants. And they flip that over, and the minute they flip that over, everything winds up upside down. You know, I like in our state, as free people all over the world, against these oppressive governments that claim to be our freely elected public officials, you know, it's almost like we have a mansion, and we're the owners, and we hire some, you know, we hire the maid and the gardener, and then they handcuff us and throw us down in the basement. And then they wait for our paycheck to come in, and they raid the mailbox, and they're living high on the hog off of our money, meanwhile telling us, you know, keep quiet, we won't hurt you. And that's just not how it's supposed to be. We are supposed to be in charge of them, not them holding us captive in cowering in fear that our very servants who we hire to do our bidding have now taken over and are intimidating, threatening, jailing, and even killing us. You know, this is not how it's supposed to be.
Mm. It's like Frankenstein's monster, isn't it? We've created this monster, and it just turned on us.
Yeah, and you know, this isn't a new phenomenon. The only part I think is new, Vinny, is that it's only been in the last, 200 years that people have actually, you know, turned that around from the way it's always been. You know, you look back historically, and the reality is people are, you know, I'm a Christian, so I'll put this in Christian terms, but you could put it in other terms. People are sinful. People want power over other people. People, essentially, if you give them unlimited power, as Lord Acton said, they become corrupt. And, you know, one of the ways that they become corrupt, the people at the top, and you can look back, you can find that this was the case with Native American tribes, with Aztec tribes, with, you know, tribes of Pacific Islanders all over the globe. It has been the case that the ruling class always wants to use its power over others to advance its own interests. It makes sense, you know. This is not new. It's been this way from the beginning of time. What's new is that 200 years ago, plus 250 years ago or so, you know, people across this globe said, we don't want to live like that anymore, and let's now make some laws and constitutions and government structures that protect us against this natural human tendency to have the people at the top oppress and harm the people underneath them. And, you know, in theory and concept, it's a beautiful idea, and in theory and in concept, to the extent it works, it's a wonderful system, but it's so hard to maintain. You know, I'm trying to remember which of the founding fathers of the U.S. said, you know, what's the best form of government? A democracy, if you can keep it.
Because it's said a republic, if you can keep it. And I believe it was Ben Franklin.
Thank you. So, yes, a republic, if you can keep it, and that being the operative phrase, if you can keep it, how do you hang on to it? Because over time, the people at the top will calcify their layer. You know, I have a phrase for them on my radio show. I refer to them as the pond scum. You know, they like to think of themselves as the cream that has risen to the top of the milk and, you know, that thick layer of luxurious cream at the top, but they're not. They're really that green, slimy, matte layer of algae that has risen to the top and is choking out all the oxygen and sunlight for everybody else. I live in a part of the world where there's lots and lots of ponds, and
well,
I see
true.
The same and stuff.
I also wanted to iterate again. You mentioned the Lord Acton quote, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. The third line in that quote, which is often not heard, is all great men are inherently evil.
I was not even familiar with that, Vinny. Thank you for filling me in. Can I add one more thing to that quote?
Go for your life.
One of the things that has motivated my work as an activist is that privacy is not an end. Privacy is a means to an end, and the end is freedom and even survival. There is a University of Hawaii professor by the name of R.J. Rummel who wrote a book called Death by Government. And he has devoted an entire academic career to studying how people have been killed by their own governments. And what he found is in the 20th century, more than six times more people were killed by their own governments than by all of the century's wars combined. So think about that for a minute. A lot of people killed in war in the 20th century. We had World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War. We had all kinds of conflicts all over the globe and in other countries as well. And yet, six times more people were killed in cold blood by their own governments than in all of those wars. And so he actually took Lord Acton's phrase of power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, and he modified it slightly to say power kills and absolute power kills absolutely. So once you understand that, then you understand that this experiment that we've been trying to do for the last 200-plus years of actually having limited government and putting structures in place to limit the power of the people who would climb over us and ultimately kill us, that is not just an issue of, you know, being happier or freer or keeping more of your tax money, that ultimately that is a matter of survival. And so I think it's critical. You know, we have to hang on to these freedoms. We must hang on to them. And, you know, you were saying before the first hour break about, you know, which do you value more, your money or your freedom? I'm going to add another piece to that in absolute confirmation of what you were saying, your posterity. Meaning, you can be as rich as you want to be, but the next generation is going to be completely in trouble if you don't value your liberty. Because even if you get money and you pass it on to your kids, it's not going to last. It's going to be taken away from them, and then their lives will be taken. So it's just a generational thing.
And Congress is taking away everybody's 401k plans and Social Security and everything like that. It's already happening, people. Dr. Catherine Albrecht, we'll be right back after the break at thevillainyeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about jamming. Jamming a big fat monkey wrench into the apparatus of the mechanics of the new world order. Now this is, Catherine, I wanted to share something with you, which kind of irritated slash disturbed slash, justified what I think. And it was the fact that these people who were speaking at these anti-GCSB, you know, the New Zealand NSA meetings, and at the protest, not one of them, not one, mentioned the agenda for the world government or the New World Order. And in my opinion, that's really the only thing that actually was absolutely necessary to mention, is to let people know that this is not part of some accidental agenda. Do you think it's an accident that all the most powerful people in the world are getting more power and taking and everybody else in the rest of the world who isn't in that massive power structure is getting less power over their own lives as somebody else is getting all of it over theirs? You know, you think that's an accident? No, it's part of a global agenda. To think that it's an accident makes you a coincidence theorist. You think everything happens by accident. Whereas a conspiracy theorist is a person who believes, absolutely believes, and you can't convince them otherwise, that powerful people who have a lot of influence actually use their power to maintain or grow said influence.
I couldn't agree with you more. If there is clearly an agenda on the people who have the power to have more power. And it becomes a vicious circle because the more power they have, the more ability they have to amass more power. And so you wind up with almost an exponential curve of increased inequality within society. You know, this is a very big deal. I think, I'm looking at right now a story that just came out from the Associated Press. 80% of U.S. adults face near poverty or unemployment. In this country, 4 out of 5 U.S. adults struggling, and you would think this would be from The Onion, right? I mean, it sounds like, how can this be true? But it's from the Associated Press, brand new story, just out today. 4 out of 5 U.S. adults struggle with joblessness, near poverty, or reliance on welfare for at least part of their lives, a sign of deteriorating economic security and an elusive American dream. Survey data exclusive to the Associated Press points to an increasingly globalized U.S. economy, the widening gap between rich and poor, the loss of good-paying jobs, and that's why we're seeing this trend. Now, you get it, that what this really is about is the people at the top saying, we're not content with letting you have even the little bit that you have. We're going to take your jobs, we're going to send them to third-world countries where people, you know, are working in slave labor-type conditions. We're going to find where we can get away with that sort of behavior on the globe. We're not going to have to play fair with New Zealand labor or Australian labor or Canadian labor. We're going to go out there and find labor in some of the poorest, most destitute parts of the planet and take your jobs away until you become destitute. And when you're desperate enough, then you'll come begging for us, you know, for these menial jobs as well. It's truly horrifying. And it is exactly what you're describing, that the people at the top have found, you know, their level. It's like water seeks its own level. These guys will always try every means at their disposal to take away all of your rights and liberties and all your stuff, too, until ultimately they take your life. And,
yeah,
you know, we've
exactly.
got...
They'll use every means at their disposal until you try and fight them, and then they dispose of you. They delete you like an unwanted program. It happens to so many activists and whistleblowers. It just breaks my heart every day to hear about this kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think what we need to do, because, you know, obviously when we talk about this, I think people can get a bit discouraged, but when we look at what happened with Edward Snowden and the NSA, we've got a really wonderful moment of opportunity right now, because just as I was talking about Iran and how they weren't able to stop people from taking photographs of their crimes and putting them up on Twitter within minutes, the whole world knew, we have a moment in history right now where you and I, Vinny, we can have this open conversation about those very powerful people, and we both get to go to sleep tonight knowing that we will wake up in the morning. We don't have to worry that some sedan is going to come and disappear us, or that we will be rounded up and shot for sedition or speaking out against the authorities. We've got a tremendous opportunity right now with the intersection of the remaining laws that were put in place to protect us against our own governments, which are still intact. Let me point that out, because the minute you start saying, oh, those laws don't work, then you stop trying to defend them. But they work. They're here. We have a First Amendment in the United States. We have the freedom of press and speech. We have the freedom of association. You and I can have this conversation. And on top of that, we have thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of listeners right this moment who also have the ability to take what you and I have been talking about and go to your website and tell others, listen to the archived program, look at this woman's website, look at Vinny's website, get out there and become informed. That is something that people, oppressed people throughout history, would have given anything to have the ability to reach as many people as we can reach. And so I think it would be a travesty and a crime for people listening who want freedom in our lifetime to let this window of opportunity go. Because you know what's going to happen next. You know it as well as I do. They're going to take away the internet. They're going to take away radio programs. Just like you said, they're taking away your ability to say, buy New Zealand. You know, they're going to take away our ability to say, well, we don't like what the pawn scum are doing. So we've got to do it now. It's critically important that we speak and that we use these amazing tools right now.
Yeah, and they take them away step by step. So unless you're fighting them every step of the way, they're not going to just come right out and say, okay, you're all slaves now. You guys over there in that corner, just move over there to the firing squad, please. And you guys over there who are good, willing slaves, move over there to the employment line, please. We've got jobs for you in the firing squad.
Yeah.
They're not going to come out and say that, okay? No tyranny suddenly announces to everybody, hey, we're a tyranny, because then everybody goes, oh, my God, they're a tyranny. Let's fight back against them.
That's right.
Are you naive, people? Come on. You really do have to fight.
They sugarcoat it. They sweeten it. They put the story on top of it. And the story, because we don't want to believe the worst. You know, we don't want to be pessimists. We want to believe that we live in a good world. And so when they give us these stories, the vast number of people want to cling to them. They're almost like life preservers as we're floating around in the ocean. We want to believe these things. But then you find out that the life preserver that you've, you know, grabbed a hold of is really just like a bunch of melting cyanide, and it's not going to save you. So, you know, we've got to see past those lies. And I think we have to look for optimism in other places. And this is really where, if I can get back to start page, this is really where I think tools that people can put in place to enable you to get off of this new world order ship that we're all on that's going down. So, you know, a great example, the whole startpage.com instead of Google, add it to your browser. When you go to startpage.com, right underneath the little search box there, there's a link. There's two links there. One says add it to your browser, and one of them says make it your homepage. So I would challenge everybody listening right now, if Google is your homepage, you need to realize every website that you visit from that homepage, they get a record of. Everything you've ever searched for, they know. In fact, they probably know what half of New Zealand had for dinner last night because your mom or your wife logged on and said, how do I cook pork chops, and got a recipe. You know, it's horrifying how much information they have about us. So in that sense, do simple things. Simple, and support companies that are doing the right thing. Every time you search with Google, you're supporting them. You know, you're voting with your mouse clicks for that kind of a world. And that's why we're encouraging people, you know, switch to start page. And now let me tell you about email, because I think that's really where the privacy rubber hits the road. If you have a Yahoo account or if you have a Gmail account, every single email that you send or receive is going straight into their database that they keep on you. So let me see if I can explain this. Last month, during the month of June, Yahoo upgraded all of its users to a new email account. And when they upgraded, one of the terms of upgrading, you had to click a box saying, I agree to get your new Yahoo account, which they made everybody do. And it said, you agree to allow them to scan all of your email and perform content analysis on everything that you write. And what that means, they read your email, every single email. If there's a phone number in it, they snag it. They pop it right into your personal dossier of information they keep on you. If there's an address, an appointment, a complaint, a comment, a keyword, a political statement, whatever it is, they snag it right out of your email and they pop it right into the profile that they're keeping on you. And not only are they getting the information that people who have Yahoo and Gmail accounts send and receive, but if I send an email to somebody with a Gmail account or a Yahoo account, then Google and Yahoo are capturing my information and putting it in my profile that they keep on me, even though I've never even agreed to their terms of service. So, you know, when I understood that, I said, wow, you know, search is bad enough because 15, 20 times a day we're telling them what we're thinking about. But email, that gets into some really private stuff. And back in 2006, I was one of a couple dozen privacy advocates that first wrote to Gmail when it first came out. And we said, you guys can't do that. That's really wrong. You know, you need to respect the privacy of people's correspondence. And they ignored us and did it anyway. Now everybody's following suit. Most recently, Google, as of last month, reading all your email. And so we came out with a private alternative. It's taken us nearly 3 years to build it. State-of-the-art privacy technology, the toughest encryption on the planet right now, and that is at startmail.com, startmail.com. We are currently, I think probably for the next couple of days, still signing people up to be beta testers for StartMail. And I just got my account this weekend. I'm so excited. I love it, love, love it. It makes PGP encryption a snap. It means that your ISP can't read your email. The NSA can't read your email. The government of New Zealand can't read your email. Nobody can read your email. In fact, even we can't read your email if it's on a StartMail account because only you hold the key, and that's your PGP encryption key.
Well, that's nice.
I'm going to get you a free account, Vinny. I'm going to get you on there because I got to get you into private email because I know you're emailing people all over the world about sensitive topics. You've got guests coming on the show, and I really want you to be locked down tighter than a drum, as they say.
Well, thanks for that because it was just occurring to me that I'm using a Gmail account and I'm scheduling all my guests and I've got all their phone numbers, often their addresses, their pictures, their Skype accounts, things like that. Oh, my God. All these really extraordinary activists who are exposing copious quantities of scumbaggery.
Think about just for a minute how it must feel to be Google laughing that the entire world has given them all of their secrets.
Mm.
How it must feel to be them going, ha ha, little do they know, we know everything about everybody. And the thing is, don't feel bad because, you know, every activist I know, every privacy activist I know is on a Gmail or a Yahoo account because we didn't know. But now that we're finding out, it's horrifying. Like, you want to go back and, like, scoop up all the past information you gave them without even realizing. And because whoever thought that the whole purpose of the email account that they give you was so they could read it? You know, let me draw an analogy. The reason they give you a free email account, which is worth about $5 a month, is because, not because they're your best friend, not because they're your mom, not because they're the government or taxpayer or anything else. They give you that account because that gives them an even better window into your entire life. So the analogy would be if you were staying in a hotel. I actually talked about this at a conference, a privacy conference recently, and everybody said, "Oh, StartMail, it's going to be free, right?" And I said, "We can't give you free email. How are we going to pay for that?" "Well, Google gives us free email." And I said, "No, they don't. Listen, let me give you an example. We're all in a hotel, right? We were in like a Sheraton." And I said, "You guys are all paying $200 a night for your hotel room. Well, what if I opened a hotel next door and said all the rooms are free? Come on over. There's just one catch. I've rigged every bedroom with cameras and microphones, and I've bugged the phones, and there's a camera in the shower and one looking up from the toilet. Are you going to go, 'Oh, okay?" No. See, that's what Gmail and Yahoo have done. They give you free email, but it's not really free. It's only free because it's like a bugged hotel room. The reason they want to give you the hotel room is because they're scumbags and they want to watch you.
That is the creepiest analogy that I have ever heard in my life. And it is so accurate that it's beyond a joke. And you know what this does? This makes me really angry. And I've been criticized recently for being angry when I get on the mic at protests and things like that, saying it puts people off and that I should learn a little psychology and learn how to communicate with people properly. Well, I don't know about you, but you know, being calm, you know, it has its merits and stuff like that. But sometimes the reality is so harsh that you need that emotion, that passion to pierce through people's thinking process and actually appeal to what's really there inside them.
I'm totally with you, because I think something's got to wake us up, really. And, you know, when we look around at how to respond to these kinds of things, Vinny, you know, people look to you as a radio host. They look to me as a radio host. They look to us as activists, as people at protest. They look to us to know, how should we feel about this? And let me give you an example. If you're in a theater and you smell smoke, and you look around and everybody else kind of seems like they sniffed a little bit, and then they just shrugged their shoulders and went back to watching the movie, then you would probably be inclined, it's just human nature, to go, "Well, I guess there's not really a danger, or everybody would be stampeding out of here," and you'd probably just go back to watching the movie. On the other hand, if you smelled smoke and all of a sudden everybody in the theater started screaming and running for the exit, then you would get up and run for the exit. And the reality, the situation would be exactly the same in both cases, just a little smell of smoke. But we look around and we know how to respond by seeing how other people respond. And if other
It's even worse than that. It's even worse than that at this point, because we can't just smell the smoke. Our nostril hairs are actually being singed by the heat. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Dr. Catherine Albrecht is my guest. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the final segment here with Dr. Catherine Albrecht. Her websites are kmashow.com. That's kmashow.com, startpage.com, antichips.com, chipmenot.com, and startmail.com. So you're very, very busy. I understand that. And the one thing I find is very interesting is when activists or public advocates go public and they start to get some kind of a following, a whole bunch of the people that follow them make requests of you and say, "Can you do this? Can you do that? Are you freaking mental? Okay, you're already doing quite a lot. You're already doing quite a lot." So if you see an activist who's going out there and doing things, don't ask them to do more. What you do is you say, "I can help that person, because they're doing such and such and blah, blah, blah. So if I do a little bit of this, that, and the other, which they're recommending that I do in the first frickin' place and take responsibility for my actions instead of putting all the responsibility on other people who can't really handle it all by themselves, then it'll actually make a positive difference. And then I shall become active and I shall become the activist. And then a whole bunch of people will come and ask me for help. And I'll say, actually, you're supposed to help yourself. Here's this and this and this and so on and so forth that you can do. That's what we're trying to get through your heads, ladies and gentlemen. Don't let us fight all your fights for you. That's the very reason why we're in this Shiite Muslim storm in the first place.
I think that's beautifully put. And obviously you've been there. You know what I'm talking about, Vinny. It's true. I totally get that. I've been doing this for 14 years. I run a consumer privacy organization called Caspian. We've got about 20,000 members worldwide. I do periodic newsletters, although less so lately than in the past. But yeah, super busy. And what I tell people over and over and over, there are easy things that you can do, and you need to do them. So we're making it so easy, it's like falling off of a log. Stop using Facebook as your personal email. There's nothing private about it. No matter how many privacy settings, you are providing your information directly to the NSA, providing your information into permanent databases. Stop using Gmail and Yahoo for email because they are recording every single thing you do. Stop using Google as a search engine. Stop installing every single app that comes down the pike onto your smartphone without reading the terms and conditions. Somebody just wrote me the other day and said, I can't believe what was in the terms and conditions on an app I was about to install. And I said, really? Like what? And they said, the app terms and conditions actually said by installing this app, which had nothing to do with recording, it says you give us the ability to remotely turn on the microphone of your phone at any time and listen. And they said, isn't that illegal? And I said, of course it's not illegal. That is a contract. If you click I agree, then you're agreeing to let this random third-party bunch of schmoes turn on your phone at any time they feel like it and listen. And you can't complain if you didn't read the fine print. So we've got to be careful who we do business with. We have to be careful what we click I agree to. We have to be thoughtful. And if there are obvious solutions and there are people working to try to help you, help them. You know, the Vinnie Eastwood Show, go to the website. Go to our website, startmail.com. Sign up as a beta tester. Click the little beta box at the bottom and in the little blank where it says, where did you hear about us? The Vinnie Eastwood Show and Catherine Albrecht. Thank you. You know, and that's how we grow. That's how we get the information out. And then call 10 friends and ask them to do the same thing. Take the broadcast of this show, which is provided to you absolutely free of charge. That's the part that blows my mind. Here we are, volunteering our time. Use it. Take advantage of it while you still can, while there's still time.
You know what makes me laugh?
Email it.
You know what makes me laugh, Catherine, is the people who say that we're in it for the money.
Yep. I know. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Wait, do you have a limo yet? Can I get a ride in your limo, Vinny? I'll give you a ride in mine.
Let me put it like this. The last time I went to the garage, I'm such good friends with the guy at the garage that he covered up all the rust spots on the roof for free for me because he knew that I couldn't afford to do it myself and that I would fail a warrant of fitness if he didn't.
I'm telling you. And here's the thing, Vinny. You and I mean, I heard your clip about, you know, $15,000, your last picture. I get that. I've got a doctorate from Harvard. If I wanted to join the bad guys, man, I could make money hand over fist being some kind of market researcher. I mean, that's what my background was in the 80s. I certainly know how to do that. My gosh. But I couldn't look myself in the mirror. You know, at the end of the day, there's really only one thing that you are going to take to the grave with you, and that's your integrity. You know, you're going to have to answer, whether it's looking in the mirror and answering yourself at the end of the day or whether it's looking into the eyes of God, you are going to have to answer for yourself. And, you know, all those riches are going to pale and fade away. You don't hear anybody on their deathbed going, oh, I wish I'd earned more money. You know, people on their deathbeds go, ooh, I was really a scum. And now I can't take it all back, all my crimes against humanity. So, no, it's critical what you're doing. I'm a huge fan. I love coming on this radio show. I would love to come back. I'm going to get you a Start Mail account, Vinny. I promise I'm going to get you on there. We will get you a free one-year account so you can totally email everybody with privacy. And you know what's so cool about Start Mail? It's the first time that PGP encryption has ever been made seamless and easy. If you have a Start Mail account and I have a Start Mail account, automatically the email that we send to one another is completely encrypted. Not only can Start Mail itself not read either of our emails, which I love, but nobody in transit can read it. The NSA, even if they got a direct pipeline and could snag it, they couldn't read it because it's completely PGP encrypted. And in the past, that technology's been around a long time, but it's so hard to use that everybody just gave up. Even me, I'm a privacy person. Even I stopped using it because it was so darn hard. With Start Mail, it's not only not hard, it's automatic. It's so cool. You're going to love it.
Start Mail is like a horror story to the NSA. It's like Tales from the Encrypt. And
I know.
We were talking there about, you know, how you've got the qualifications, and I had the salesman skill, and we could be making a lot of money instead of, you know, doing the right thing. And I think the reason primarily why I started doing this is because I was really angry and depressed, and I was calling everybody slaves and scum, and nobody was listening. And it's exactly the same. Nothing's changed except now people are listening.
You know what we have to thank Edward Snowden is, I think now people, I hope you've had this experience where you are too, Vinny, but here in the States, I've had people calling me up from who knew me 10 years ago. I'm so sorry I didn't listen to you. You were right. I'm so sorry I ridiculed you, or I didn't believe you, or I kind of chuckled. Every word you said was right, Catherine. Now tell us, now that we know you've been telling us the truth, what do we do? You know, so I got to say, sometimes we do win. Sometimes things come full circle. And sometimes all of that stuff that you have been so patient in trying to explain to people, it comes full circle, and then they start to get it. You know, the Bible has a phrase in it that I really like. It repeats over and over. Jesus says, "Let he who has an ear hear." And I used to think, what is he talking about? Everybody's got ears. Now I get it. What he's really saying is, let the person who can actually open up their mind and hear the truth actually do that. And, you know, when I hear that, I think that must mean that some people don't have an ear and they can't hear. And so our job is not to convince every single person we come in contact with, but it's to say it so that the people with an ear will hear it. And you guys know who you are. You listeners out there, you know when you hear truth. You know when you tune into this broadcast why you listen every day to this show. You know why it is that you're sitting here listening to the sound of my voice right now, because there's truth in it. And the spirit naturally responds to truth. You know, we lap it up. We need it. It's like sunlight to a plant. And you also know when you're getting fed a whole bunch of lies. You can feel that too. And that's really the key. You know, if you've got an ear and you can hear, wonderful. Now go out there and tell somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the 1 in 7 ping. I believe that it takes about 7 times that you hear the same thing before it starts to really sink in, sort of thing. And I put it like this. Basically, you're 1 of 7 people. Somebody's sitting there and they're drinking fluoridated water or something. You just say something about fluoride. You say, do you know that that's not pharmaceutical grade? Do you know that it eats through concrete and glass and it's in its raw form and it's not a nutrient? And they get like, oh, you're a crazy conspiracy theorist. And it's like, okay, 6 more people will tell you this and then it'll sink in. Just as long as you play your part, if you see something going on. Okay, Jenna Napolitano was right. If you see something, say something. But it's not reporting people for saying the truth. It's reporting to people when they're consuming lies.
That is brilliantly put. Absolutely brilliantly put. I don't know if you got this in your email. Somebody sent me this little meme of, if you see something, say something. And it shows Janet Napolitano on the left and then Edward Snowden on the right. And it just says, did. I did. I loved it. Totally loved it. Man, that guy is my hero. I'm such a fangirl. I even have his one of his quotes in my signature. His quote says, "I had been looking for leadership for leader. I had been looking for a leader, and then I realized leadership was being the first to act." I was like, "Man, that guy just, you know, and look at the sacrifice that he made for the rest of us. Unbelievable, extraordinary. You know, so few people are willing to sacrifice anything. You know, here you and I, we're talking about sacrificing huge earning potential and sacrificing, you know, professional prestige or whatever it might be. But here's a man who sacrificed all of that and more. I mean, he sacrificed his girlfriend. He'll never again see, you know, the Golden Gate Bridge or the Grand Canyon. He'll never again set foot on American soil. I mean, what a sacrifice. Unbelievable. So I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of yours too, Vinny. Thanks for all you do also.
Well, I also wanted to reiterate to the fans and listeners, if you value the work that Catherine and I and many others do, if you value the work of Edward Snowden, show up and support us. You know, somebody asked me once, you know, Vinny, how can I get into doing what you do? And I say, well, 99% of it is just being there, just showing up, just doing something, because the whole system is predicated and it only continues if and only if you do nothing to stop it. The power is in your hands. Support me financially if you can. Go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, donate or subscribe, or go to Catherine Albrecht's site. Thank you very much for your time today, Catherine, and we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.